The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
And this will be the last snap of the 22 season. There it is. Beck takes the knee. And the countdown begins, 23 seconds. Dogs aren't waiting for that clock to get to zero. They've hit the field, celebrating here at SoFi Stadium. TCU begrudgingly walks to the middle of the field. Georgia on the logo, celebrating back-to-back Nats.
Ah, yes, nice to hear our theme song again. Thank you also to Scott Howard and the Georgia Bulldogs Network for the reminder of how the 2022 season ended. Just like 21, Georgia national champs again, dominant fashion, earning a 15-0 record, convincing win over TCU. Welcome to football 2023 style. I can't wait. A few games already under our belt, but it all gets going this weekend, extending to Monday's Labor Day. But before we look ahead, we'll look back. And first of all, Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Graham. Good to be back. I'm looking forward to the season. It's been a fun off season, but it's time to go. And boy, a lot happening. But Georgia, congratulations. When I think of blowouts, a couple of them come to mind, and a couple of them from the state of Georgia. Georgia Tech, 222, Cumberland, nothing. And Georgia, 65, TCU, 7. Those are the few that come to my mind right now. But this one, the most lopsided in the playoff era in 9 tries. And now we got a team doing something that hasn't been done in the college football playoff era. Back-to-back titles and a chance to do something that hasn't happened since the 1930s, a three-peat.
That's right. I know you're going to get into some of that later on, but that's going to be the story as Georgia goes through their season. Can they do it? Can they be the first one since Minnesota to pull it off? Well, might be a good idea to take a snapshot of this season because changes, they are a-coming, and in a big way. Already teams are switching conferences, particularly with the Big 12, gaining 4 new members before Texas and Oklahoma depart in 2024. The Pac-12 is all but defunct after this season. Just 4 teams will remain after the rest depart for different conferences next season, and we're not sure what's going to happen to those 4. All of this on the heels of a new 12-team playoff beginning in 2024, but not long ago, it looked as though everything was set with the top 6 conference champions earning an automatic bid, another 6 teams getting at-large bids. Well, there are other issues now in the fold, but as Executive Director Bill Hancock explained in an exclusive interview with the Lindy's Report, there are a few issues to be addressed as the new setup goes into effect.
The newest part, of course, is the 4 games on campus, those first round games. It's never been done before in our level of college football. Never happened at that level that you find out basically 13 days before that you're going to have a mega game on campus. And we've got to make it as easy as we can for those schools to put those games on.
Michael, we can't ignore what's happened in this offseason. A lot of changes taking place. We got more that are still under scrutiny. I understand that the playoff committee was supposed to meet this week. How are they going to make any decisions as to change anything when not knowing what the conferences are going to look like?
And it's changing every week, it seems like, almost every day. Yeah, and it's happened with 2 to 3 years of changes from the NIL to this conference realignment talk. And, I mean, the new playoff, what is it going to look like? Well, we knew, and now we don't know for sure. And then you've got the haves and the have-nots of these different conferences, the teams that everybody wants, the teams that are being left in the cold, and what's their future look like?
It's interesting because the discussion amongst the mid-majors, as we like to call them, the non-Power 5 conference teams, they wanted that 6th conference champion to get the automatic bid. Now they want 5 and 7 that will get an at-large. I guess they feel like they got a better shot under those circumstances.
Well, it's we've been calling this a Power 5 setup. You can take that term loosely anyway, because there's certain conferences that are ahead of the others, and it's been that way. But we have that lingo. I feel like you got a power too. And I know the Big 12 has added some numbers since the loss of Oklahoma and Texas, but I still don't think they're on the level as the Big 10 and the SEC. And what's going to happen with the ACC? We already see what has happened to the Pac-12, now the Pac-4. So many different things happening, and who knows what the future holds.
And I don't know that we're going to know anything for several more weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at the Pac-12, gosh, what a year they could have this year. Look at all those quarterbacks that they got from these different teams. And they're pretty much all going out of the league after this year's done.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we opened the season a week ago with a handful of games, but it begins in earnest this weekend. One of the marquee tilts involves a border war in the Carolinas, as in North and South. The two play in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. South Carolina enjoyed a grand finish to the 22 season, upending both Tennessee and arch-rival Clemson. They've gotten plenty of publicity in the offseason for the wins, but can they take that into September this year? Chris Lee of the Southeastern 14 podcast has his ideas.
Well, I think the North Carolina-South Carolina game is interesting to me because I don't know exactly what to think about either team. With South Carolina, the computers didn't like them as much as the pollsters a year ago. They weren't a dominant team in terms of yardage. They turned it over per snap more than any team in the league. They got the same guy back. Their running game looks like it might not be very good. They lost two NFL defensive backs. And yet you've got South Carolina fans here yelling out to anybody who listened, hey, we beat Clemson and Tennessee, and still we don't have the respect. They're one team in November and a different team in September and October. And for the North Carolina side, you've got Drake May, but you've also got Tez Walker. And then you've got a defense over there that couldn't stop the two of us a year ago. That, to me, is a fascinating game. Plus, throwing the fact it's at a neutral site in North Carolina, but I think it's actually a little closer to South Carolina's campus than North Carolina.
We're going to watch the quarterbacks in this one, no doubt. Drake May, who almost left the Tar Heels after last season. And then Spencer Rattler, who finished with a bang last year. I don't know which one you like of those two, but this should be an interesting game.
I like them both. I am interested to watch it. Two playmakers for sure at that position. And these two teams kind of under the radar. They're not picked to win their conferences, but they're moving up the ladder. South Carolina, I mean, they have to go up against Georgia. That's a pretty tough battle. And, North Carolina's got Clemson.
Exactly. Well, beyond conference realignments, offseason chatter has been about the arrival of Deion Sanders at Colorado. On Saturday, he leads the Buffs into action for the first time facing Texas Christian, which is fresh off its berth in the national championship game. Sanders coached a couple of seasons at Jackson State before heading to Boulder. And when he arrived, he made a big splash by announcing that he would be making a few changes, and he made a lot of them. He brought in the largest number of transfers in the country, 52. With a bit of an odd twist, TCU has not garnered much attention this summer, landing in the second 10 in most polls. As the bombastic Sanders has received most of the attention heading into Saturday's big noon kickoff on Fox, the Frogs coach Sonny Dykes wouldn't have it any other way.
We got to move forward. You know, what happened last year is certainly not going to have any bearing on what's going to happen this year. So a big challenge for us. You know, I think that we got a lot of eyeballs on us as we move forward, and that's what you want. You want to have high expectations for your program. You want people to pay attention. You know, I think, everybody has slogans for their program, and I think, you know, when you think about TCU football, you know, our deal is we try to be, you know, all steak and no sizzle, and I think that's kind of what we want. We want to fly under the radar a little bit. I think it's a role that we relish and we want to overperform and underpromise. And so that's kind of our mentality in our program.
That's what they did last year, Michael. They weren't talked about much towards the end of the season. And lo and behold, there they are playing Michigan, beating Michigan. And then, we won't talk about what happened with Georgia, but you get the point.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate that they were such a surprise and such a great year. And I think the best year they've had in their modern history for sure. But it was overshadowed by the way they finished, unfortunately, in that game for their sakes. And it's kind of weird. I think they're being overshadowed. This game is not on TV unless there's Coach Prime on the other side. It's the That's big true. Game of the weekend in the Big 12 Conference. It's funny because Coach Prime, you said 52 transfers, right?
Last time I checked.
You remember what he said when he took the job? He was bringing his luggage with him. That's a lot of bags.
That is a lot of bags. The best matchup of week one takes place on Sunday, when LSU visits Orlando to take on Florida State, a rematch of a game with a crazy finish a year ago. It looks like Mike Norvell has turned around the fortunes of the Seminoles, leading them to a 10-3 record and a bowl win over Oklahoma in 22. But to take the next step, a win over fifth-ranked LSU might be necessary. Thanks to last year, Norville has familiarity with the Tigers.
They're really good. Obviously, that's evidence in winning the SEC West last year. You know, Daniel's the quarterback. You know, he's a very talented young man, not only with his arm, but what he could do with his legs. You know, Harold Perkins, you know, he didn't play much against us last year, and you know, one of the more dynamic players in all of college football. So, you know, you see, you know, the elements of all things offensively and defensively, and I mean, it's, you know, they did much of the same of what I believe we did. They got better throughout the course of the year. They won some close games. You know, obviously they built their confidence. It's going to be a heck of a matchup. And this is, it's going to have a championship type feel to it, just because you have two teams that have experience and I think are really talented.
LSU is getting a lot of play preseason, A, to win the West and the SEC, which means they will have beaten Alabama again, and B, in the national championship hunt.
Yeah, and I remember this game last year kicking off the season. Neither of these teams were even ranked. Nobody had any expectations for either one. They finished both ranked in the AP poll. They start this year both ranked in the top 10. It's going to be a tall order. You mentioned LSU. They've got to beat Alabama. They've got to go to Tuscaloosa. Florida State's still got to beat Clemson. They got to go to Death Valley.
Maybe twice.
Possibly. And if you want to be in the national championship mix, you almost have to win this game, you think, because you have very little room for error.
Exactly. And one more thing, change is constant in college football. For proof, look no further than the spinning world of the coaching ranks. As reported in this year's Lindy's College Football Preview, no less than 24 teams have a new head coach, 14 of which are taking the plunge for the first time. Start with a sad replacement of the late Mike Leach, who passed away prior to Mississippi State's bowl game in December. Assistant coach Zach Arnett is now the head coach for the Bulldogs. Many swap jobs, such as already mentioned Deion Sanders moving from Jackson State to Colorado, Luke Fickle leaving Cincinnati for Wisconsin, Hugh Freeze taking the Auburn job after spending 4 years at Liberty, and Jamie Chadwell followed him at Liberty, leaving Coastal Carolina. Others, such as Matt Rhule, returned to college after a stint in the NFL. He's now at Nebraska. Former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer was coaching high school football in Nashville before getting the call to lead UAB. Some changes could be considered surprises. David Shaw, for instance, led Stanford to 3 Pac-12 titles in 12 seasons, but was fired in favor of Troy Taylor, who played at rival Cal. Goodbye to Herm Edwards, Willie Taggart, Scott Satterfield, and hello to Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, Tom Herman at FAU, and Jeff Brohm at Louisville. There are others, but like many coaches who were let go, our time is gone. Good luck, guys. For our first U.S. farm-raised catfish catch of the week, we return to the championship game from a year ago when Georgia demolished TCU, thanks in part to this 37-yard pass from Stetson Bennett to Ladd McConkie in the first half. Scott Howard of the Bulldog Radio Network has the call.
Dejon Edwards in the backfield, play fake. Stet sets up to throw, pressure coming on. Wide open, McConkie reaches up high, touchdown, touchdown McConkie! Nobody near him!
Remember, for the tailgate 10 of the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. farm-raised catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at Academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at Academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Is a three-peat in the works for the Georgia Bulldogs? For the answer, here's Michael Butler.
As the 2023 season begins, Georgia begins its quest for a three-peat, which has been a rare feat. The last team to win three consecutive championships was Minnesota. It occurred in 1934, 35, and 36. Army and Notre Dame came up short in their attempts in the 1940s. Both finished at number two in the Associated Press poll. Alabama was undefeated in 1966 after titles in 64 and 65, but finished number three. Vince Young's performance versus USC in the Rose Bowl denied the Trojans its third straight championship in the 2005 season. Alabama was the last team to two-peat prior to Georgia's back-to-back titles. That was in 2011 and 12, but a kick six derailed the Crimson Tide's chances. Georgia's coming off a perfect season last year and a decisive championship win, the most lopsided of the CFP era. They kick off this season at number one and are undoubtedly the team to beat. But in the AP era of college football, history is against them. In all, 12 teams have tried to do what Minnesota did in the 1930s. Those 12 have all failed.
We welcome in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindysSports.com. Lynn, welcome to year number 11 of the Lindy's Report.
Yeah, this is great. And before we even get started talking, want to express our thanks to the to our sponsors, to U.S. Farm Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors, to the affiliates. A number of these affiliates have been with us most of the decade, and then especially to our listeners who stick with us every season, and we greatly appreciate it. Without all of the people I just named, we wouldn't be in the 11th season of the Lindy's Football Report, and we don't take that for granted, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely, and we will try to do better each week as we have tried to do each of these last few years. Well, we start with the fact that with 2023, I think we've reached the end of college football as we know it. What about you?
I agree with you. And everybody that enjoys college football as we have it now, please relish this season because it's going to be the last time that you've got it. You know, I'm afraid, Graham, that we've fixed some things that weren't broken. We might have had some things that needed to be tweaked, but we probably didn't need them to be destroyed and start over again. And that's basically what we've done. You know, with the factors of the transfer portal and the NIL, and then the conferences changing teams. I spoke the early part of the week at a civic club. And looked into the numbers on transfer portal. Over 1,500 college football players entered the transfer portal this year after the end of last football season. 197 quarterbacks, 213 running backs, and 432 wide receivers. Graham, we don't have but 133 teams that play that level of football. And that, you know, my math isn't great, but 133 times 3 didn't quite get you to 400. So you had an average of more than three wide receivers leaving every team. Alabama lost four, not their better players. But when you start losing that many players, it gets into depth and not having as much depth as you did have. I'm not sure that when they started the transfer portal, they envisioned this. I think the NIL is, was part of that. You know, we've had some great teams in play from the Pac-12 over the years. Enjoy it now because you're not going to have it again. And, you're going to have conferences where you've got Rutgers in the same conference with UCLA. Why is it logical that West Virginia should be in the same conference with Arizona? And, they talk about, don't take players out of class as much and try to hold down costs because the cost of fuel is so high. Well, that flies in the face of what they've done with this conference realignment thing.
Not only changes in conferences, we got changes in some of the rules that you'll see during the football season. I guess the biggest one being they're not going to stop the clock after a first down except for the final 2 minutes of each half.
Yeah, I was interested to see what fans would think about that. I went into some of the websites, and a good many of the fans were critical of that. I still lean toward thinking it's better if you made a first down to let the chains get moved before you start the clock back up, especially in these games Graham, where they're playing in 95 and 100 degree heat, at least before, if you made a first down, you got to kind of walk back and catch your breath. Now your time's running as soon as the play's over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we pick some games, let's pick some get some predictions regarding conference champions. And as of right now, anyway, who do you think will be in the playoff? Let's start. We'll do the Power Five, basically. The Pac-12, who is full of great quarterbacks.
Yeah. I like Oregon and Oregon and Southern Cal. Caleb Williams, of course, a defending Heisman. I like Bo Nix's chances. Oregon's a stacked team, and he had great stats last year. So I look for Oregon and Southern Cal to be the top of the Pac-12.
How about in the Big 12? It's bigger now.
Yeah, it is. You know, I still like Texas or Oklahoma one to come out on top, to go out with a blaze of glory. Sure as I say that, they'll both have mediocre years. But I would look for Texas and Oklahoma to be the two bell cows there.
What about the ACC?
I think Florida State and Clemson. I think Florida State has actually got there with making their recovery from the many down years they've had. So I like Florida State and Clemson.
And the Big Ten.
Michigan, Ohio State. I think they're the two best teams. The team I'd look for as the dark horse is Penn State. I think Penn State's in a great position. They get to be kind of under the radar because everybody's got Michigan and Ohio State in the top four. Well, Penn State's there in the top ten, too. You know, they kind of are like LSU in being a mighty powerful team, but being in behind Georgia and Alabama in most of the polls. And so I think – and I'll tell you, I like LSU as a dark horse in the SEC. It certainly won't surprise me to see Georgia and Alabama win the divisions, but it absolutely wouldn't surprise me to see LSU win it. Them and Penn State are in a really good position. As far as the playoffs, I feel I got to take Georgia to get back in there. It's really difficult to win to win three in a row. It's difficult to have undefeated seasons. Georgia's got an advantage with the schedule they've got this year. So I'd say probably Georgia, Michigan, I guess Ohio State. I think Oregon or Southern Cal, and I like LSU. National champion, I'd probably go with Michigan. They got their tradition. They got a strong team. They do have the situation with their head coach there where he's going to be, I think, missing a few ball games because of some things, and I don't know if that'll have a big factor on it. But I'm going to go with Michigan to win the championship.
All right, we got about a minute to go, but let's pick some games. We'll start with the battle on the East Coast with West Virginia Penn State.
I take Penn State. I've already given a thought on where they stand, and I like Penn State to win it.
Dion versus TCU. That's Colorado and TCU.
TCU's got a lot to prove after getting beat so bad against Georgia. They may beat Colorado that bad. Colorado brought in 45 new guys, but they lost 52 in the transfer portal. I expect TCU to win that one going away.
How about North Carolina, South Carolina?
It's a good ball game. I like South Carolina. That's a great quarterback matchup. May for North Carolina and Spencer Rattler for South Carolina. But I think South Carolina will win that in a close one.
Tennessee's in the Music City this weekend playing Virginia.
And Tennessee wins that one going away as well. Tennessee's a lot stronger than Virginia. It's a mediocre Virginia team. I think Tennessee's a dark horse in the East if you want to have one, and I think they'll win comfortably.
How about the Sunday matchup, Florida State-LSU?
Biggest game in the country. The winner of this is going to put itself in the national championship picture. Really great ball game. I look for LSU to win it in a close one, but it won't surprise me if it goes the other way.
And every week you do an upset special. Who is it this week?
I'm going to take the Houston Cougars to beat Texas San Antonio, UTSA. Playing in Houston, Houston's actually a two-point underdog. UTSA had a great season last year. They're coming back strong. Houston wasn't a bad team as well. I like Houston to upset UTSA.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.